Beautiful people, welcome back to Linux Weekly Daily Wednesdays, where we can sit back, relax, take a look at some of the things, maybe just a little bit off-road, but always, always Linux and open source related. I am Vin Stone. That is Jill Bryant, and over there, returning back from the dead Lazarus.
Hi.
Mateus. And everyone joining us at home, watching us live. All the fun stuff. What's going on, beautiful people? Anything new and exciting, Pedro? We missed out an entire week of your shenanigans, man.
Not really. I mean, it's been mostly work in that. The Nori cracked one of her teeth, so we had to run to the emergency room last Wednesday. That's why I was not here. I do apologize, but yeah.
that very much took precedence.
So yeah, no, she's good now. She just needs to finish off the antibiotics, and then she can go to the dentist and get that fixed proper. Okay. That's all we're waiting for now.
Right on, Joe.
Yeah, so I've been doing lots of podcasting here on LGC and for Destination Linux. So I've been busy.
Been talking a lot.
Yeah. Yes, I have.
Man, I get all my talking out of my system on Wednesdays and Saturdays. I'm done. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to go back to being silent. Where's a good corner? But check this out. I've been playing around with a couple of things, man. I've actually decided to just like torch a video. I was working on a video for setting up the filters in OBS for just audio, you know, your basic gating, compression, noise removal and all that. I played with it, and I spent a day and I went back and listened to it. I'm like, it sounds horrible. Like, don't use anything inside of OBS for audio processing. It's genuinely bad. So what I've decided to do is first I got to finish. We were talking in the pre-show last week. Jordan's like, I'm getting the aux runs. And I'm like, okay. So I need to make a proper jack setup for your box. But I got done with that. It's the thing I'm going to post probably for everyone else too, but I'm going to make like a simplified version of how to set up a digital mixer, get some real audio plugins set up completely free, and how to tie that into OBS in like a very simplified way. We were talking in the pre-show. I'm going to see if it passes the Pedro sniff test. And if it does, I'll put that out there, and we'll probably beta test it. I'll throw it up for patrons, be like, hey, go try this and see if this works, and I might have to make some revisions to it. So keep an eye out for that nonsense. What else did I do? Oh, I repaired one of my old Washburn guitars, and it didn't fall apart and fold in half, and that was fun. I was excited about that. I'm just like carefully listening. I want to hear like, quang. Oh, there it went. Fun times, but let's get right into it, ladies and gentlemen, because Linus wants arms. He really does, man. This is coming from the Next Web. I saw this one. Oh, look at you, Next Web, trying to load a video. Script block, kids. Oh. But, you know, there's the new Macs out. We know you got the Mac Mini and the laptops based on the M1 processor. And Linus chimed in himself. He's like, I'd absolutely love to have one if it just ran Linux. Well, we saw that coming, right? Mm-hmm. He said he had really fond memories of his 11-inch MacBook Air, and apparently the screen broke or something like that, and Apple took too long to fix it, so he moved away. But yeah, like I think everyone, probably everyone listening to this show, let me know. Really, we've been waiting for an ARM laptop and just to put Linux on it and play around with it. Yeah, I want one, but I don't want I don't want to pay the Apple tax. What?
Pedro technically already exists.
Yes.
I can put a Raspberry Pi in a laptop case too.
We'll get to that later on, but yes.
Here's an old one. I have two different versions, the Intel and the ARM.
Okay, fine, you wacky kids. Let me revise that. I want an ARM laptop like everyone at home that you can use for productivity and do stuff with.
Yeah. Okay, that's a bit more of an ask, yes. And I think in that case, the M1 MacBook would very much fit the bill, but Even on x86, when Apple first introduced the T2 security chip, they made it extremely inconvenient to get Linux on it, and it took a while for people to find how to work around it to actually get Linux on one of those laptops. So, assuming they didn't double down on stupid, because they're Apple, probably it will be just as difficult to
get Linux on one of the new ones. I don't think so. I've definitely seen some people, I've seen some tweets from people that were like, you know, this is going to be doable. Like,
oh yeah, it is doable. Yeah, I don't doubt people will find a way to do it.
No. Yeah. What I'm getting at is I don't think Apple is blocking Linux.
No.
Okay, so on their device. As long as they haven't completely gone off the deep end and blocked everyone from doing anything.
I could be wrong, but that's what I was reading from it. I don't think this is like the, you know, iDevice. This is going to be a bit more open.
Okay, that's...
I'm hoping.
All right.
I'm hoping. Hopefully, and, yeah. Yeah. Like Linus, you know, it would be nice to have a MacBook that just works out of the box with Linux, with everything, including the Wi-Fi, because that's always been an issue. But lots of us Linux users and developers run Linux on Macs. So this is a good ask, Linus, definitely. You know, it would be nice if Apple made Linux officially available on their Mac or official to install on the Macs, like Dell and Lenovo. Just makes sense.
I think it'd be really neat.
It's time. And it's time.
I know, you know? Linus is definitely one of the people. He has very strict sound requirements, and that is a very big appeal you might not think about for a lot of people. Is we've just got accustomed to like loud shouty laptops, x86 laptops that are just the new Macs are fanless.
Yeah.
Yep.
No.
Beautiful and silent.
I don't know. It's something we'll get to. What is Ubuntu Web Remix though?
I suppose we need to thank Linux Nuru for bringing this to our attention, because it is a distro that tries to do the same thing that Chrome OS does, but it uses Firefox. Now, it's not developed Firefox into its own desktop environment like Chrome OS did, because they seem to be using GNOME. That app shelf looks very, very GNOME. But it is, it just does all the things that you would expect Chrome OS to do, except for running Android apps. And maybe, if that is in fact GNOME, it probably won't run as well on low-end, passively cooled Celerons or ARM laptops. So that's the thing that I am still curious to see. I did download it, but I haven't loaded it up on anything just yet. But it is, it's supposed to be a bare-bones-ish version that's just supposed to get you connected to the interwebs using Firefox instead of Chrome, which is interesting. It's an interesting proposition nowadays, I guess.
Yeah. Well, this is awesome because, Pedro was saying, you know, having Firefox as the alternative for Chrome is really what we need on our Chromebooks. We need Firefox OS on them instead of Chrome OS. But it's so nice to see fast progress on this Chrome OS alternative, especially because it just started in the summer. And that was when we talked about it here on LWW. So that's the neat thing about this is it does have it's got a website link to their app store, which is really nice. And they're curating
they do
apps
have
right now.
Experimental, heavy emphasis on the experimental bit for Android app support.
Yeah.
And they specifically say may not work properly if you're loading this from a live CD or a virtual machine. So, yeah.
All right. That's the
might be a bit of a toss up.
it's something to experiment with right now. It's not necessarily ready for production. All right. Right on. I can dig that. But I saw this because all the kids, man.
Yeah.
Everybody, Rust is the new Ruby on Rails.
Yes.
We just need to, it's a bad analogy, but come on, everything needs to be in Rust now. And I get it. And one thing that I saw that kind of got my interest was a little thing called Ruffle, because I'm interested in flash preservation, Jill.
Yeah, definitely. So like Ven was saying, we actually might have found the answer to playing our old Flash games and animations with Ruffle. Ruffle is an Adobe Flash Player emulator written in, yay, Rust. And it works as a standalone app, as an app for the web, and as a web browser plugin. And it's really easy to install. And they actually have a demo page that you can test several games and animations, and they all work really great. And it does play most Flash SWF games and animations, but it doesn't play the one, if it doesn't play the ones that you want to play correctly, consider contributing and testing for them. They're trying to get, you know, all of them to work. So that's
which I did.
A thing. Yes.
I think it was Daisy that brought it up on Discord earlier in the week. It's like, oh, look at this. I wonder if this works any better than any of the other Flash emulators from back in the day. And I could actually play The Binding of Isaac at more than 4 frames a second. It's like, okay, I did buy that particular Humble bundle back in the day. So I went to Humble, downloaded it, the SWF, put it through the Ruffle test, and no magnificent 3 FPS. Kudos, major kudos to the Ruffle people, because Mango HUD actually worked. You could actually launch it with Mango HUD and it would show it. That's how I got the 3 FPS readout. So yeah, it's it's not quite there yet, but maybe very, very soon it will be. So, especially for games like The Binding of Isaac that are so very complex. Okay.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's asking an awful lot of it. They have several sponsors, including Newgrounds. That was my first thought to it. I'm like, oh man, because Newgrounds, that was our YouTube back in the day. You know, we didn't have streaming video, but hey, we could, you know, watch Flash animations and play Flash games. That's really great that that is there. Maybe one day it'll play Binding of Isaac, but I do know that the Web Archive is going to be using this to serve their Flash in the future.
And yeah, it's really awesome.
That's a good thing. Also, Adobe open source Flash. Come on, you've already killed it. I mean, let's be honest with each other. You need to do it. You need to do it. But here's something I ran away, because I know we're kind of stuck at home. A lot of people are stuck at home. And if you're an educator or if you have to do presentations, you're most definitely, more than likely, not set up to do that. You know, you're like, what do I got to get? Like a green screen or what? How about you just do it with your webcam? Yeah. So this I ran across. I'm like, this is kind of interesting. This is Camboard. This basically will turn your webcam into a whiteboard. So you can just print off a piece
so
of paper.
Cool.
Yeah. And it's got little QR codes. And with the software, it's going to pick it up. It's, you know, it's using Python. It's going to detect that. And it'll frame it. And boom. Then all of a sudden, that piece of paper is going to be your full screen. It's going to stay in frame. And you can do stuff with your, get a negative of it or just blank it out. So you're going to be seeing the text. I think it is might be useful. I wanted to throw that in there. And I mean, you can use it with Zoom, Skype, MS Teams, and all the fun stuff. Easy to set up, relatively easy. You know, if you're looking for like, you know, a button, maybe not, but you can save everything. You can run it in Blackboard mode. Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. You know, color invert, sharpening, all the fun stuff that you would expect to see. Now, the only problem I have with it is where's the difficulty level for this? You know, setting it up, installing it, getting it to work with Skype or anything like that. That's not difficult. The difficulty problem for me is this requires a printer.
Go to
or
FedEx,
a really
Ben.
Steady hand. if you have a really steady hand, you can actually draw the symbols yourself. You just have to make sure that they're all about the same size that the camera recognizes. Oh, those are the markers that I'm looking for. So, yeah.
Yeah,
really
FedEx,
steady
it's
hand,
a thing.
Maybe.
Go to your printouts. That's where I take everything to get printed.
Oh, man. Bit of a how do I want to phrase this? Adore 6.4 came out earlier this week, and about an hour later, Adore 6.5 came out. Why? Because they messed up something with the export. But it is here. This is the official 6.5. This is the DAW that we currently use to record everything at LGC. It takes care. I use it. It's my plugin host. It does all my mix minus stuff. But yeah, this is a hot new version. If you want to go play with it, you can build it from source. As always, you can get it from your distribution if it shows up on Arch and all that fun stuff. Binaries available for backers, as always. That's what I'm running. But the big thing in this release is the addition of support for VST3 plugins. This is great. I've been looking forward to that. I did notice that it auto-hides VST2 plugins out of the box if it sees one that's, you know, matched with VST3. That caused a little bit of confusion, but there's also better handling of MIDI encoders. The generic MIDI support's been fixed. WebSocket.js supports, that should now work with MIDI strips. And there's been several fixes for a door and a Raspberry Pi. That's right. You can take a Pi 4 and turn it into a little mini DAW. If you're just like recording at home, you got like a guitar, maybe a vocal track. That's a cheap way to play around with it without having to set up an entire box dedicated for audio. I thought that was neat. I wanted to give it a mention. Deal with it.
I don't think anyone's going to take you to task for that.
Come on, Pedro, fight me on it.
No. I will fight you on a great deal many things. In fact, I love arguing on the internet. Mm. Not that.
Okay. Well, fine. You can argue with me about Pipewire because these are audio. This is the audio related segment. Fedora 34, there's a change. Route all audio to Pipewire. This is a proposal. So the idea here is to something I think most people can agree with, to nuke Pulse Audio from orbit. And all right, with this proposal, all roads will lead to Pipewire, and this will be really big for desktop users. I mean, looking to take advantage of your audio interface or just the confusion between like setting up Jack or Pulse or dealing with ALSA is going to handle it all. Pipewire's the chosen one. It is the chosen one, but I just hope it doesn't turn out like Vader, man. You know?
No!
Right. This thing's going to need like 11 midichlorians or whatever you're supposed to have. Now, maybe you don't even know what Pipewire is. Pipewire is going, hopefully, it's planned to be the one sound server to rule them all. And you're going to be able to get support like a Pulse Audio application. It's like, hey, yeah, I can handle your Pulse. Or if you get a Jack application, hey, I can handle it. A lot like Core Audio for Apple. A couple of things I was asked earlier this week. I think the mentor hit me up and he's like, yo, are you playing with this? I can't play with it in the studio right now. And I've brought it up with a developer was still waiting on NetJack 1 support to land in Pipewire because everything in the studio is audio over IP, you know, minimize cables where I can. Also, I want to see support for Fado drivers. I want to see a Fado backend so people can take, because the ALSA stack for FireWire devices, Takashi's done a great job, but none of those are ready for production. They're like, oh, it technically kind of works until they explode and catch on fire, which they all do. This is very interesting with sound. Even if you don't care, you're like, I just want to plug stuff in and it works. This is going to make your life easier.
Have it remember when you plug something in and it's like, I want this coming out of the headset and I want this coming out of the soundbar across the room. And then you make the accidental mistake of, say, plugging in a input and output interface and it automatically defaults to the new device. It's like,
yes.
Seriously?
And imagine having like a low latency. I was talking at the beginning of the show. I was like, yeah, okay. Here's the basic thing. Monitoring yourself. If you're streaming, you want to be able to monitor yourself with OBS. Pulse Audio is such a latency nightmare. Even on this system, I was just laughing. Like it was off bad enough to where, you know, almost a full second off to where it just wrecks your ability to talk. That one. But out of the box, Pipewire, it's designed closer to Jack. And I mean, it has the blessing of Jack developers. And like, yeah, this is seen as the future of the software. And just having a low latency sound server, this is going to make me very happy.
And I'm so happy it's going to be backwards compatible with ALSA, and because they're going to have an ALSA plugin that routes to Pipewire, which is really wonderful because there are those of us who run old apps that use ALSA and OSS. So
that PADSP all the things.
Yeah. So it's all going to be backwards compatible with all the things.
I want to see it. And Pipewire is, again, it's going to be compatible with everything. It's going to have the option, like, if you need to, you're not going to have to worry about that, you know? Like, oh, mm-hmm. this was using an ALSA packet. Oh, no, it just works.
Yes,
it's great.
It just works. Nice.
And Pipewire is something that we're going to need, not just for audio, but for WebRTC, screen recording, and all this other fun stuff in 10 years when Wayland's ready. So
we can totally have Pipewire. Don't tie yourselves down to Wayland. We can totally have Pipewire completely replace GStreamer if need be, long before Wayland.
Please, that would be nice.
It is brilliant. But since we're talking about Fedora type products, let's yes. keep going with that.
Yeah, so this next one is it's Flatpaks. They're not as bad as Snaps. Still questionable use on the desktop, but at least they're not Snaps. This is the first unstable release on the series leading up to 1.10, so says Alex Larson. And the big one seems to be getting the OS tree metadata and setting up the prerequisites for installing a Flatpak on a system will supposedly be faster now. They've done a lot of optimizations in the background and a lot of summaries of everything that it would need. And it also has the side effect of allowing people to only see or download a certain subset of Flatpaks. Mm-hmm. Let's say you have a distro that you only want to provide FOSS software with it. So you only see the FOSS Flatpaks. You don't see anything else. You can do that now without having to create a separate repository and having to duplicate the packages to that repository. Now you can actually see the metadata per whatever subset you define yourself, which is nice. It's actually really nice.
Yeah, faster so, is definitely better. Yeah. Yeah, so, and something I was really happy about is now during a universal Flatpak update, Flatpak will now automatically add uninstall operations for end-of-life runtimes that are unused. And this will make it a lot more cleaner to use.
Yeah, not sure. Taking up 10 gigs of just old...
old, yeah. Files.
Old runtimes that nothing is using.
Yeah.
What do you get against Snaps, Pedro?
Everything?
Come on, man. Be a rebel. Let's go install some Snaps tonight.
I can set a laptop with just default Ubuntu and then wipe it afterwards. That's fine.
Fine. Hey, containers, I mean, that is its thing. Someone's going to have to, again, they have to be explained to me on the desktop, I got to admit. Like, trying an app, I think it's fine, but...
But even if it's just for trying and it's... for intended for desktop use, app images.
Yeah.
App
yeah.
images,
that's
best waifu.
That's my favorite format. That's...
But what about updates, Pedro?
You can update the whole thing. It's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. What's GCompress?
Oh, this is awesome.
Other than just being old.
Yeah, it's 20 years old now, and it now is on version 1.0. GCompress is a suite of educational software for kids that has been used for years in schools and in Linux distros that are used to teach children computing in third world countries. And it's on every platform, Windows, Mac, and Linux. And the big deal here is this new version has a new activity settings menu with a data set selection for more than 50 activities, allowing you to choose more specifically what can be learned on the activities. And there's a new analog electricity activity, which this is really cool. They've been working on this for a while. It teaches students how to draw circuits and run simulations. and that's
it's a basic really... drag and drop circuit maker.
Yeah. It's hey, really,
how long
really...
is that taking?
Yeah, no, I know. This. I know exactly.
This is great because you can show your kid this and wonder how you can feed into it.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. at least when they start tearing your electronics apart, they're going to have some idea what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah, and it's you're just nice. Probably going to have to point out, it's like, that's the resistor. Oh, it yeah. looks nothing like, no, but that's the resistor.
And think about it. You can get little Susie a hot air flow station, workstation, you know, for their fifth birthday.
Yeah. Well, it's really nice because it's a compliment that, you know, giving your kids a breadboard, you know, to experiment on. And they'll understand it a little more using the software. And so it makes using those kits easier, and they're learning, you know, science and technology and all the things. Yeah. And there's also actually in this version, new activities for addition, subtraction, and typing as well. So it's really come a long way in these 20 years. Been really impressed with this progress.
And this is a piece of software that's really easy to set up on a Raspberry Pi. And more importantly, yes. it's available on Android Play and F-Droid. For mobile.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm. very nice.
Pedro, go install it. You can get the circuit.
Actually, I might actually give it a try because I mean I can't hate on something if I've never tried it. And I'm always down for hating something.
Here, let me fill in for the audience. Since when?
Have you not been paying attention?
No, I haven't really.
That makes two of us then. Jill, it's on you.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man. Gcompress.net. That's been around for a long, long time, man.
Yes.
It's educational software. It's a great thing to have. Another great thing to have is the ability to do the show if you want to help us out. That's patreon.com/LinuxGamecast. Look at that segue. Deal with it. We got a bunch of membership levels and just a bunch of awesome people who help us do this. Loud, live, independent, commercial free, all that fun stuff, which is legit. And we get to make some cool educational videos of our own. Stay tuned for some more advanced audio stuff coming from me. But stick around for your name in the credits. We got a store.linuxgamecast.com. And yeah, that's pretty much it for shameless self-promotion. But
merch.
Merch.
See, we got linuxgamecast.com.
I have the one shirts, the pink stickers, one chair mugs. Shirt. And I think that I'm the only person with the pink one chair shirt.
That you know of?
That I know of, unless Ben grabbed one.
Ben did say you got one of each, so probably.
Oh, I have one of everything.
But do you have the pink ones?
Yes, I have one of everything.
Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, well, I have all the pink ones, too.
Not exclusive anymore. Yeah,
I have all the pink ones, too.
Mine aren't even opened. Ooh.
Ooh,
ooh, collector's items.
Yeah, mine are collector's items.
Hey, I beta tested mine.
You just bought
oh, yeah,
stuff
you have the mug
ready.
To prove
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
All right. 3.14, turkey pie. 'Tis the season. Too.
Mm. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Can't wait to have that soon. Yay. So I was really, really, really excited about this. This
that
is.
That looks like a disease typewriter.
This is the dev term from the company Clockwork Pie. It is an open source portable terminal for every Linux nerd and developer. It's really cool. So for those listening on audio, it's an A5 sized notebook with a 6.8 inch ultra wide IPS screen and a Clockwork Pi mainboard. And it's so geeky and retro. And you can actually pre-order or the kits starting at $219. And it's supposed to ship by April 2021. Very good there. It's okay, impressive.
That's a bit of a price.
it's actually good considering you get their Clockwork Pi and the IPS screen. Well, that's kind of an expensive piece of kit there.
Okay. All right. you can tell it's one of the it's one of the Clockwork devices because it's got the two little knobs on the side.
Yes.
We we mentioned, I don't know if we actually mentioned it on this show or if it was on Linux Gamecast or at some point in between, we talked about those game shell cases for the Clockwork Pies. It's like, why does it have Frankenstein twirly bits?
Yeah, that's... Oh, and so true, Chicklink, he says you, in chat, on, reminds on. Me of a TRS-80.
Pedro, I'll tell you what, because those Frankenstein kits actually exist. How's that pre-order going?
Yeah. Still waiting. 2 months. Yeah, it's the 25th now, so 2 months. It's been over 2 months. Mm. Never again.
So, this is awesome. It's yeah, like that, my...
that's neat. I could see somebody picking up one of those, you know, just to have it, or also just for the challenge of putting it together, you know?
Yes.
That'd be great.
I can see this appealing to the Cyberdeck crowd as well. It's got that same
style. It is. And, you know, being able to look at it, I'm like, and that's something you could put together at home without, you know, really having to, it doesn't look like you're going to have to break out a soldering iron. So, you know, it's fun to do something yourself, put it together. Like, it's great.
And, you know, if you want to have the look of a classic portable computer of yore, there we go. And it's not too hard to put together.
So... Tinkerboard 2, Asus, along with everybody else, since the original Raspberry Pi came out, I'm like, we can do that too, you guys, but they always seem to mess it up somehow, Pedro.
Yeah, so Asus had released a Tinkerboard back in the day. It was an interesting, it's like, oh, you can do that. We can do that too, and it wasn't great. And now they have the Tinkerboard 2 and the Tinkerboard 2S. There's they both use the exact same SoC, which I'm like, wait a second, the Rock chip 3399, huh? Where have I seen that before? So yeah, no, I totally got one of those, and it's got 2 gigs of RAM. It has a teeny tiny little M.2 port that you can use for whatever you'd like. It does have USB 3.2 Gen 1 Type-C. Try saying that 3 times fast. And 3 USB 3.2 Gen 1 Type-A's. So, yeah. It uses an actual barrel jack for power. It doesn't use the Type-C, even though you could totally use the Type-C for power, but whatever. There's dedicated barrel jack for that. Full-size HDMI. Full-size Ethernet port and 40-pin GPIO, very much in the exact same form factor as the Pi, so that will immediately look familiar to everyone. And slight correction, 4 gigs of LPDDR4, not 2. I was looking at the Tinkerboard 2 right above the 4.
I'm sorry, Peter, it sounded like you said not 8.
Yes, no, not 8.
No, 8. Aww.
Toss it. I will not have that in my presence.
It's the exact same SoC that's in the Pine phones and the Pine tabs and the Pinebook Pros. It's that one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, at least there's a bit of an ecosystem for that then.
Yeah, there is. There's actually a lot. I was looking at the Pinebook Pro forums to see what kind of shenanigans people have gotten up to. And there, people have gotten a lot of stuff to work. It's kind of impressive.
That's pretty cool. What do you have against barrel jacks? Or would you be happier if they had like rhombus jacks?
I'm talking about more of the form factor, because, you know, you got the Pi. Mm-hmm. Then you have something that's the size of a USB port, but it's just for power.
But you think about it. So you like the... It's like a USB... see power port that doesn't instantly snap off if you look at it wrong.
Yes.
There's enough surface contact for the USB-C. The micro HDMI is not so much.
You don't realize it. You just broke it.
I'm sorry. I looked at it wrong. Yeah, right. No, these micro HDMIs, I don't have a lot of faith in them.
No. That's one of the advantages of the Pi, though. If you have a just regular size HDMI cable, you can just kind of wedge it and it'll hover. It'll be hover Pi.
Yeah.
Just sits there. What I was doing the entire Pi Cam thing, the Pi was just sitting over here, just like, hanging out like that. I was poking at it. All right. We got to get out of here, everyone. But before we do, if you want to leave us a message, how can they do that?
You could do that fairly easily. You,
Impossible.
No. Nope. See, I was going to make a joke, but I realized then that it would be very inappropriate, so better not. Go to LatestGameCast.com. That is always appropriate. Well, sometimes. But usually more appropriate than whatever was going on in my head at that time. The...
Pedro did make a joke, yes.
The contact form is cleverly hidden behind the contact button, so just tap on that, fill out the form, pick LWDW, and yeah, let us know what you've been working on, if you have any pie projects that you'd like to try and get done, or if you saw a project that you really want to get done, but you ran into a bit of a snag. Let us know. Tell us about Linux.
That's pretty cool. And you can always hop in our Discord during the week. We are there. That's available for patrons. Mm-hmm. Or just you leave a YouTube comment. No promises on that. We'll definitely read them. But yeah, if you want to get in touch with us directly, best way to do it. Okay. We got to bounce out of here, everyone. Have a great rest of the week. And keep playing with penguins, man. Because
yes, keep those penguins marching.
Marching penguins.
Yes.
You don't get marching orders. Marching penguins.
No, yeah, penguins and it doesn't work.
Aww. Apollo
waddle waddle
Apollo Mias 27. Yes, I have a trashy 82, which I adore and love as well.
It's a very cool Bill Advisor color.
I still want one of those Raspberry Pi 400s.
I want one with eight gigs.
I'm supposed to get mine in at least 3 or 4 days, so that's good. I'm happy, finally.
Right. I shall be poking you for performance numbers and things.
Yes. Yeah, I think the holiday might throw off the shipping a bit, but it's coming.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. We love you.